Skip Heitzig explains that the reason people would prefer for God not to exist is because they'd prefer for there to be no judgment.
You know as well as I do that ever since the beginning of history, Satan has deceived people into believing that this will never happen, that there will never be a judgment, that there will never be a final accounting, never a day of reckoning. The philosophies of men, this post-Christian era, all of the ideologies of men, including the theory of evolution, if we came from a mass of protoplasm and God didn't make us, there is no God, there is no judge, there's no judgment, which means you can live any way you like and just pass into oblivion.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Earlier this year, Steve Rogers, also known as Captain America, returned from the grave to continue his fight for truth, justice, and the American way. Of course, anyone familiar with comic books shouldn't be surprised by this development. Comic book characters have a regular habit of dying and resurrecting. In that regard, you and I aren't that different from comic book heroes, because we too will one day die and be resurrected. We'll talk more about that with Skip Heitzig today on The Connection. But before we get started, we wanted to help inform you of just how much influence the occult is having in our world with a revealing book by Steve Russo. Here's more.
Vampires, Wicca, and white magic are everywhere in the media, and not just at Halloween. Really now, is there such a thing as a nice witch? Not according to Steve Russo.
Wicca is a self-styled religion. You might call it a buffet religion where there is no definitive answer to this is Wicca because of it being self-styled. What people do is they take a little bit from Christianity, they take a little bit from Hinduism, Buddhism. They make up their own religion. It is, in its essence, it really comes down to the worship of yourself because you define and design your own deities.
America is being slowly and successfully seduced by the occult, and you need to know how to handle it in your family.
We know as Jesus followers, as those who have made that decision to live their life for and like Jesus, the power we need is in the resurrected Christ. And what's happening is kids are looking and they're not finding reality. They're looking in the church. And that's not to say there aren't those who are living, you know, amazing lives as followers of Christ in the church. But kids aren't connecting with a lot of them.
Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, gives a blunt and practical approach to understanding the agenda of evil.
From what I have seen, Wicca is the fastest growing religion among high school students and college students in North America. And we have got kids in the church who are delving into Wicca. And part of that has to do with the whole experiential side of this generation, because this generation is all about experience.
The allure of movements like Wicca and the fascination with the power of witches and vampires is a disturbing trend the church can't ignore. Get informed and learn what you can do when you order Fear No Evil for just $15 by calling 1-800-922-1888 or at connectionradio.org.
Certainly a lot of concern in our world about the occult, Wicca, and more. And Steve Russo gives a great expose of this in his book, Fear No Evil. You can find out more at our website, connectionradio.org, or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. You know, you may not have superpowers, but you will resurrect from the dead someday, just like any other comic book character. The difference is, this resurrection only comes through the power of Jesus Christ. We'll examine more about life, death, and resurrection, and how the reality of it differs from the comic books in today's study. Here are The Connection.
And make the connection.
Revelation chapter 20 is where we'll be for today's study. So if you'll open your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzig.
You have no more to fear of death than you do of taking a nap if you are a believer. You will wake up, and it will be a resurrection, the first resurrection of righteousness. You'll be rewarded, and you'll rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I'm looking forward to the resurrection. I thought about it often. Now, this model, this body has been great, but think of the new one coming. And some of you, though you do try to fight the wrinkles and the age and the pains and, you know, go for it, but you know you'll lose that battle. You can postpone certain things, but it's a losing battle. Paul said that our body is like a tent. It's a great metaphor. Our body is a tent, and we're going to cash it in one day for a permanent dwelling place. That's the difference, the tent and the permanent dwelling place. Camping is cool, but it gets old. And after a while, if you're in a tent for a long time, you'll start groaning a little bit, complaining, I want to get out of here. I want to have a home again. That's why Paul said we groan in our bodies. My father, the older he got, I would go home and visit him, especially in his latter years. I remember I could hear him get up. He'd groan. Oh! When he'd go to sit in his chair out in the dining room, oh, he'd groan again. And get up, he'd groan. The other day I was picking up a piece of paper off the floor. And guess what? I caught myself doing it. And then I thought, it's okay, it's scriptural. We groan. Someone asked an old Christian man, how old are you? He said, I'm on the right side of 70. Thinking he meant under 70, they found out he was 75. What do you mean? You said you were on the right side of 70. He said, the side closest to heaven is the right side. Because of what's ahead. Well, what will it be like? What will our bodies be like in the resurrection? Turn briefly, quickly, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is a question that has been asked even from the early church. Verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. In other words, the resurrection, our bodies will be so different that though a seed is connected to the flower that produces it, you know, there's really no comparison, right? The seed that goes into the ground, though connected, though related, will look nothing like what is going to come out of the ground. It's going to be an amazing transformation. Verse 38, God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. So there'll be some changes that are radical, but it continues as the same life form. A wheat seed doesn't become barley, flax doesn't become corn. It's still related, but it looks very, very different. So our resurrected bodies will have some kind of continuity with these bodies, but be radically different in appearance. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men and another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, in other words, of heavenly realms and of the earth. The glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. In other words, there's a difference between a mountain and a star, a rock and a comet. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Our resurrection bodies will be so radically different from these physical bodies we have now, just as an earthly body and a heavenly body are different, a rock and a comet. What are those differences? Let me give you four in these verses. There will be a difference in durability. Now, I can't give you a picture of what you're going to look like, but I'll tell you what the scripture says. There'll be a difference in durability. Verse 42, we're sown in corruption or decay. We are raised in incorruption. As soon as a baby is born, he's on the march toward death. And even the healthiest body deteriorates before death. And once you die, you'll deteriorate very rapidly after death. Remember when Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb and said, "Roll away the stone"? You know, Martha figured this out. She said, "Lord, he's been in there 4 days, and by now he stinketh." That's the King James. Only 4 days, and his body was so decayed, even elaborate Egyptian mummification cannot stop the decay process. So, difference in durability. Second, there'll be a difference in potential. It says right after that, we're sown in dishonor, we're raised in glory. Let me give you a better translation. Our bodies now disappoint us, but they will be raised in glory. Ever since the fall, the body and the mind have been reduced in the capacity of doing the will of God. That will be over. So a difference in durability, potential. Three, there'll be a difference in power. Notice, we're sown in weakness, we're raised in power. Right now, bones still break. Right now, diseases can still be caught. Right now, even germs of a common cold can stop an adult dead in their tracks. But not then. There'll be a difference in form. It says we are sown a natural body, but we're raised a spiritual body. We have a natural body right now, and it works good on earth within certain parameters, certain temperature parameters, and so forth. It's made for this environment. It's adapted for this environment. It's not made for a heavenly environment. The scripture says flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Remember when Moses said, "God, I just want to see you. That's the only request I have. Just let me look at you." God said, "Moses, if you do that in your flesh, you'll die. You need a whole different body and a whole different ability to do that. And in this flesh and blood, that's not possible." Verse 48, "As was the man of the dust, so also are those who are made of the dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." So we'll have a heavenly body instead of a spirit just inhabiting a body of flesh. It'll be a heavenly body, somehow connected in relation to our previous body, but it's going to be different. Somebody said, "Well, how will we look?" Better. Right? Just having a new body has got to be an improvement. Durable, potential, a raised, resurrected body. And now I'm also asked the question, will we recognize each other in heaven? And Spurgeon answered that by saying, "Well, do you think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are here? I mean, if you can do it now, don't you think you'll be able to do it then in a glorified state?" Finally, we'll close with this, the resurrection of the ungodly. We go back to Revelation 20. This is the resurrection after the millennium. The saints have already been raised. The New Testament, Old Testament, tribulation saints have already had their glorified bodies for 1,000 years, reigning with Christ. And now comes a judgment, the white throne judgment, not that of the believer, but the unbeliever. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it." It just sounds ominous from the start. "From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." This is the most serious, the most sobering setting, I think, in all of the Bible. The final judgment of unbelievers. The language, notice, is plain, straightforward. There's no embellishing. There's no gory details. You'd think that you could write a lot more gory details than this. It's not. It's just simple, straightforward, the facts. It is a courtroom scene, but it's unlike any earthly court scene. For instance, there will be no debate about guilt or innocence. There will be a prosecutor. There will be no defender. At this courtroom scene, there will be a judge, but no jury. There will be a sentence without appeal. There will be a punishment without parole. There will be jail without escape. You say, are you sure this is all biblical? Well, we just read it, but listen to what Jesus said. He called it, in John chapter 5, there will be a resurrection of condemnation or damnation. Daniel called it the awakening to shame and everlasting contempt. You say, why do you say this is only non-believers and not believers? Because the first resurrection takes place before the millennium. We're already in glorified bodies, already ruling and reigning with Christ. And Jesus said this, he who believes in me is not judged, but he who does not believe in me is condemned or judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Also, Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but passes from death to life. Now, folks, you know as well as I do that ever since the beginning of history, Satan has deceived people into believing that this will never happen, that there will never be a judgment, that there will never be a final accounting, never a day of reckoning. The philosophies of men, this post-Christian era, all of the ideologies of men, including the theory of evolution, if we came from a mass of protoplasm and God didn't make us, there is no God, there is no judge, there's no judgment, which means you can live any way you like and just pass into oblivion. He's done a great job in deceiving people that there will never be a judgment, but there will be. He's even done it in churches. There's many so-called religious or spiritual people that believe in what I would term the Oprah Winfrey God. The benign grandfather who sits in the sky and is just, oh, sentimental, and everybody, come on in, no matter what. That is the idea that many people have concocted of God. Here it's very different, it's sobering, but it says the dead are there. Verse 12, the dead, small and great, standing before God. The somebody and the nobody, the rich and the famous, the poor and the obscure, all in a terrible fellowship together of final judgment. All unredeemed people. That's what this is. Unredeemed people standing before God apart from Jesus Christ. The kind of people who said, I don't need Jesus. I'm good enough. I'll stand in my own works, my own record. Really? Well, the books are open. Everything you've ever thought, said, or done, perfect record. You'll be judged accordingly. You're either judged in Christ or you're judged apart from Christ with your own record. So they're standing, sort of like a court. Will the prisoner please rise and approach the bench? And now we understand what it means in Hebrews 10 when it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. This is a fearful sight. The books are opened. Probably the law, perhaps the book of works of people, the records, but also it says, notice, the book of life is opened. The implication is they're looking for names to see if they're in the book of life, and they're not. And everyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In the ancient times, there was not only a record of wrongs in the courtrooms, there was another book of loyal citizens. And so the books are open. And imagine this scene. Jesus even talked about it. There's Jesus with his nail-scarred hands, looking through the books, trying to find the names. It's not that he doesn't know they're not there. This is that final demonstration of those who say, I'll stand in my own works. Jesus said he will say to them, depart from me, you cursed. This is Jesus, the Savior, the loving one. He said, I will say to them, depart from me, you cursed ones, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. No doubt a person would tremble at that. And Jesus said, they will say to me in that day, now wait a minute, Lord. You know, we've prophesied in your name. We've done wonderful deeds in your name. We've gone to church in your name. We've supported this work. And they'll go through their little litany. Jesus will say, but I never knew you. Depart. Oh, how those words must ring forever and ever in the ears of those conscious, resurrected, ungodly. I never knew you, I never knew you, I never knew you. Forever Perhaps the reason that believers will not be present at this scene is that we wouldn't be able to hear, we wouldn't be able to bear hearing somebody we know turning to us and saying, "Why didn't you tell me about this judgment? Why didn't you tell me there was forgiveness for my sins in Christ? Why didn't you have the guts to let me know?" But this is the judgment of the unbelieving, of the condemned. The great point to be made is simply, we all live, we all die, we'll all be resurrected, but there's a big difference in how. We all have life, but not everybody has been born again to spiritual life. We all die, but you don't have to face the second death. We'll all be resurrected, but Jesus said some will be raised to life, some will be raised to condemnation. A simple axiom that I have remembered that helps me in this is this. If you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll die once. You're born, obviously, here you are. But if you're born twice, born again, John 3, you'll only die physically, die once, but never spiritually, never the second death. You'll be resurrected into life. So if you're born twice, you'll only die once. But if you're only born once, you are here, you are present, you have biological life, but you're never born again, you'll die twice. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. There will be a resurrection of everyone. The state, the consciousness will be eternal. And what's the hope of the Christian in all this? We read about it. A new body, a resurrected body. The hope of the Christian is expressed in the epitaph that is on Benjamin Franklin's grave in Philadelphia. He wrote it himself. "The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents worn out, stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work will not be lost, for it will appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author." A new book, a new turning point. Always hope for the believer. Spread the hope to those who are hopeless, who don't know Christ.
We live in a world that needs hope and cowers in the fear of death. Christ provides answers to both of those situations with the resurrection. We can have hope because we know that our lives won't end, but will only improve after death if we follow Christ. And the fact that we can know that we will live eternally eliminates any fear of death. However, if you don't have Christ in your life, then you may have a good reason to fear. The good news is you don't have to continue that way. You can choose to follow Christ today and enjoy the hope and confidence He brings to all who follow Him. If you'd like to talk with someone about how you can do that, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but before we go, here's how you can help us share the hope of the gospel all over the world.
The Central American nation of Belize has the second largest offshore reef in the world and most extensive cave system in all of Central America. It also has 127 offshore keys, numerous rivers for rafting and kayaking, wildlife reserves, and of course, miles of gorgeous Caribbean beaches. All of these factors and more draw tourists and thrill-seeking adventurers from all over the globe. But these thrills are short-term. The ultimate joy in life is to know eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Lighthouse Christian Radio Broadcasting from San Pedro and also heard in Belize City. It is here that The Connection and other Bible-based programs are bringing hope and truth about the real paradise of heaven.
The Connection has Lighthouse Christian Radio. They have a huge impact on the community out there. Everybody knows who that is, and they give away those free radios where it only tunes into the one radio station, and it's a solar power. So those are, kids are just dying to get their hands on those.
You can help the ministry of The Connection reach the people of Belize and other nations around the world with the gospel as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to be a member, and when you sign up, we'll also send you a new teaching each month. Help us share the good news of God's love with people all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, but that small amount may make an eternal difference. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And when you call or log on to our website, don't forget to ask for a copy of today's teaching when you contact us. It's available for just $6, which includes shipping. And all you need to do is call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Or if you prefer, you can always write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And no matter how you get in touch with us, we look forward to hearing from you. And thank you for your support of this ministry.
And make the connection.
One day, this world will pass away, but what will replace it? We'll examine how God will make everything new when we continue History's Last Chapter next time. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.